If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24 for the reading of the scripture. I don't know that I've ever heard, I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I don't know that I've ever heard an Easter message like you're going to hear this morning. But it's in my heart. It's been in my heart for several days. And when I sat down with an open Bible last night, the Lord, the Spirit of God, just magnified it in my heart. And you know, sometimes as preachers we stand and we're not quite sure. We just stand by faith, try to give the folk what God has given us. But I tell you, I love it when I can stand like I am this morning, knowing that I'm going to obey God. The question is, are you going to obey God? Will you obey God this morning? Wonder how many, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, wonder how many in your heart right now would say, Lord, if you nudge my heart, by the grace of God, I'm going to obey you. Would you do that? Years ago, I was preaching in prison. I told the men to take their finger. And I said, just imagine that your finger is a piece of chalk. And I said, I want you to draw a circle around your cell. And they did that. And then I said this. I said, men, will you ask God to speak to the man that's in that circle? You know, really, that's the only one you have any control over. That one that's in that circle. I believe if you'll ask God to speak to that one, he will this morning. I believe it'll be a wonderful time together. If you're able, in reverence to the Word of God, stand with me, please. If you're not, that is absolutely fine. But if you're able, we're going to read in Acts chapter 24, verse number 10, starting in verse number 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. I want to give everybody a word right now. Listen to me carefully. There's coming a day when you and I are going to answer for ourselves. Husbands, you're not going to answer for your wife. Wife, you're not going to answer for your husband. Children, you're not going to answer for mom and dad. Mom and dad, you're not going to answer for your children. Now don't get me wrong. We're going to answer for how we raised our children. The father is going to answer, or the husband, for how that he has conducted his household. But I'm just trying to magnify the point that we're going to stand before God one day as individuals. It's not going to be as a member or as an attendee at Bible Way Baptist Church. That's not going to matter. One-on-one with this man called Jesus. This one that got up the third and appointed day. Look at verse 11. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God. How many's got that this morning? And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just, read it, and the unjust. I'm going to preach this morning on this subject. With the help of my Heavenly Father, and the precious Holy Spirit, the resurrection that not many are talking about. The resurrection that not many are talking about. You can be seated. Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, brother, and pray for you, Pastor. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this privilege, God, that we have this morning. Lord, I've had a struggle. You know I've had a struggle. Lord, I'm so glad that you're with me no matter what goes on, Lord. And I pray today, God, that you just bless each one here. Lord, that you help me to stand, Lord, and declare Jesus to a lost and dying world. I pray today, God, for the pastor, Lord, that you give him the message, Lord, just bless him and turn his tongue loose, Lord, and his mind, help him, Lord, to stand and bring the message that's needed for this hour. Lead us and guide us and forgive us our sins and our failures. And I'll bow and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Thank you so much. I want to preach this morning for a little while with the help of God on the resurrection of the unjust. It's Easter Sunday. All over America, there are many churches that are still shut down. I saw in England a video yesterday where they came into a Catholic Mass and busted it up right in the middle of the Mass because there was too many people in the building. Many people in places where they are having church this morning, the emphasis is going to be put on the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm not against that. I've stood in the pulpit on many an Easter Sunday and preached on exactly that subject. In many places this morning, there may be an emphasis put on the resurrection of God's people. Oh, happy day when I see my mama, I see my daddy, I see my Savior. I said, oh, happy day. There are others on my mind. I can't wait to see. The next time I see them, they'll be whole. It's going to be a glad time for the children of God. Happy day. Happy day. But there's a group of people, the Word of God calls them the unjust. They're unbelievers. They are those that leave this world. They die in their sin. The Word of God declares you and I that are saved to be justified, to be born again. Many will leave this world. The Word of God said, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Few there be that find it. Many will leave this world in the broad way that leads to destruction. And I want to promise you something this morning. If you're sitting in this service, you do not know Christ as Savior, and you leave this world in that condition, there will come a day when you will wish that Jesus had not rose again that third and appointed day, because you're going to stand before him. You say, Pastor, couldn't you bring us some good news? Oh, I've got good news. I've got the best news you'll ever hear in this world. It don't have to be that way. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, somebody that loves you won't tell you just what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you need to hear. There were many things that I did not understand as a child. My father was trying to keep me from the danger.
There's a pastor standing in this pulpit this morning, and a Holy Spirit that lives in his heart that is doing his best this morning to keep you from the danger. Beloved, if you haven't figured it out, things are shaping up. A one world religion, a one world government. Going to have a vaccination card before you can get on a plane. Going to have a, I believe the pastor will have to have a vaccination card before he can get in a hospital before it's over with. I'm telling you, beloved, you listen to me and you listen to me well. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? There's another mark coming in the tribulation called the mark of the beast. You won't be able to buy a loaf of bread. You won't be able to buy a tank of gas. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to do anything unless you receive that mark. This morning, I'm just laying a little groundwork for a message that God has put in my heart. The resurrection of the unjust. Just as sure as God's people are going to be risen from the dead, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and have a new body, and go to be reunited with our loved ones that have died in Christ and our Savior, just as sure there's going to be a resurrection of the unjust. They're going to have to stand before God. This morning I have five things on the plea. Let's get to it. First thing I want to talk about this morning is the promise of this resurrection. It's not a pastor this morning that's speculating as to whether or not this resurrection of the unjust is going to take place. I would like for you to listen carefully to the Word of God. We love it, don't we? When we study the Word of God, and it promises us as the children of God, a new day is on the horizon. A new body is waiting for the children of God. But just as sure as that promise is real, there's another promise that's real. There's going to be a resurrection of the unjust. The dead are going to be raised. Watch this. The Word of God, talking about the promise of the resurrection, said, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I promise you there is a resurrection of life, but I promise you as well there's a resurrection of damnation. That's what the Bible teaches. The Word of God said there in Acts, have hope toward God. They themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. You say, Pastor, how can a person be just? There's only one way. Jesus, beloved, listen, is both just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You could read that one text there, John, and think, well, it's a work salvation. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. No, read your Bible. It came to Jesus and said, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. The gospel. Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That is the message, when received, that will change an individual's life. Not only change their life, but it will change their destiny. It will change which resurrection they're a part of. Many people in the world today believe in a general resurrection. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Well, if there's a first, then there's not one that's just all-inclusive. On such the second death hath no power. Here's another verse of Scripture. The Bible said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You may have come this Easter Sunday to hear a message on the resurrection. You are. It's the one that not many are thinking about. We that have grandchildren that are lost need to be thinking about it. We that have children that are lost, we need to be thinking about it. We that have co-workers that are lost, we need to be thinking about it. We, beloved, that have friends that are unsaved, need to be thinking about it. There's coming a day when every one of us is going to stand before God. Every one of us is going to stand before that risen Savior. I see the promise of this resurrection. The second thing I see in the Word of God is the pity of this resurrection. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the pity? Here's what I mean. You leave this church service today, you never trust Christ as your Savior, and you end up in the resurrection of the unjust. What a pity. It didn't have to be that way. Christ has already went to the cross and paid the debt for your sin. What in this world? Answer me. What in this world is worth dying and going to hell over? The Word of God said in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth He bring judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me carefully this morning. You might say, well, preacher, I'll tell you what, God has never spoken to my heart. Let me just make a mention right here. Maybe because you was on your cell phone when He was trying to speak. Maybe because you was trying to pass a note in the church house while He was trying to speak. I'm telling you, there's a resurrection of the unjust. What a pity for people to turn their back on Christ and go out the door and die unsaved without God, when God has already made the provision for every one of us. Lamentations 3:22, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Word of God said, every morning doth He bring judgment to light. The Word of God said, they're new every morning. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me carefully. Not one will be involved in the resurrection of the unjust and shake their finger in the face of God and say, it's your fault. Not one. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that leaves this world without Christ will be able to look back in their life and see that time when the blessed Holy Spirit fingered around that heart, tried His best to help you to the one that loved you and gave Himself for you. I'll tell you why a lot of people will leave the church house lost on Easter Sunday. You ready? This is really deep. They love their sin. They ain't giving it up for nobody. They love it. A person will never be saved until they agree with God concerning sin. It's awful. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said in Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you're going to understand one day that God was good to you, and the goodness of God was designed to bring you to Christ. And yet you turned your back. You're breathing God's air. You're drinking God's water. You have God's life in you, beloved. Listen, it was God that allowed you to live physically. And only God can give you eternal life, spiritual life. How many would agree with me? It's a resurrection not many are talking about. We're cut out that way. We like the cookies and we don't like the vegetables. I sat there at the Easter dinner with my family yesterday and my grandson Lucas said, "You want a roll, Papaw?" I said, "Oh, does Papaw want a roll? I'll be so happy for a day when I can have rolls without rolls." They're going to have plenty of butter on them, too. Josh and I were talking back there in the fellowship hall a while ago. He said, "That's the furthest thing away from what I'm eating right now." You understand, Josh, what I'm going through. It's torture. You ought to be married to a cook like that. There's a resurrection of the just. And there's a resurrection of the unjust. There's the promise. There's the pity. I'd like to look for just a few moments now at the partakers of this resurrection. I never have thought about this before, Brother Steve, honestly. You all have heard me stand in this pulpit, Brother Wayne, and magnify those two thieves and Christ in the middle. I've magnified many, many times standing in this pulpit how that this one said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You remember that? And Jesus, he looked back at him. He didn't say, "You dirty, low-down scoundrel, you've wasted your whole life, and now you want me to take..." Oh, no. He said, "Today." Oh, Brother Wade, I'd love to hear the tone of his voice. And he looked back and said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." But one thing I've never magnified, it's never been magnified in my heart until this message. What about this other one? That one lifted his eyes in paradise, where Abraham is, in the presence of God. Where did this one lift his eyes? In the same place the rich man did. In hell, being in torment. Why? Because there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. That thief is still there today. I wonder how stupid he feels. All I had to do, instead of siding with them, that mob, all I had to do was side with him. All I had to do was admit I am who he said I am. I'm a sinner, and admit he's the Savior. That's all I had to do. But no, in his stinking pride, he hangs there and dies, awaiting the resurrection of the unjust. He's tormented there. But you know, the Bible said death and hell are going to give up the dead. The small, the great, I'll read it after a while. They're going to stand before God. Partakers. Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Word of God said in Psalm 43, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." There are those that are partakers of this resurrection. All the years that I've been preaching, I didn't realize this till last evening. In Luke chapter 18, you have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Y'all remember that story? The Pharisee, the Word of God said, prayed thus, listen, with himself. That's how a lot of people pray. Because you know who it takes to get a prayer from here to heaven? It takes the Holy Spirit. In order for the Holy Spirit to get a prayer from here to heaven, someone has to know Him. But listen to this verse of Scripture in Luke 18 and verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners. Unjust. Adulterers. Or even as this publican. Never in my life has that unjust in that verse been magnified. You say, Pastor, he said he was not unjust. Let me tell you what I'm going to say right now is really important. It's very possible to say something that ain't true. You say, Pastor, how can you say that he's unjust? You're judging him. No. Let's read the rest of the story. But the publican, he so much as would not even turn his eyes toward heaven, but he smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Word of God said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Bible is teaching us that this Pharisee that said, I'm not unjust, was unjust. A whole lot of people are going to stand before God and say, well, wait a minute, Lord, let me get my Sunday school pen. Wait a minute, Lord, let me get my baptism certificate. Wait a minute, Lord, you need to understand, I've been a member of this church and this church and this church. It ain't going to matter unless you've been born from above, trusted Jesus as your Savior. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Word of God said to declare at this time, I say, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. We've looked at the promise of this resurrection. It's in the Bible. The pity. What a pity it is. It would have really been a pity had I not gotten saved. One of the greatest pities would have been everyone in that church would have thought I was in heaven. Honey, your religion can fool a man, but your religion will never fool Jesus. He's looking in your heart. You say, I wouldn't preach like that. Preaching like that don't bother you if you're saved. But He's looking in your heart. He knows. He knows the day that you swallowed your pride and you said yes to the Lamb of God. He knows the hour. He knows the minute. He knows the second. That Sunday night, February 22nd, 1987. I'm not sure about this. I won't be dogmatic about it. But I wonder, Brother Steve, when I made that first step away from that pew, if it wasn't done. The rest of it was just a formality. I had surrendered my will to His will. I had swallowed my stinking pride. It was going to tell a man for the first time in my life what God already knew. Going to tell my pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Never in my life, as long as I have a memory, will I forget what he said. First he said, Rick, are you sure the devil don't have you tripped up and deceived? My pastor had a lot of confidence in me. I said, Brother Bud, I've been deceived for 27 years. That's why I have to stand here in this mess tonight. I felt like I was in a mess up to here. The songwriter got it right. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. He got his Bible, knelt in the altar beside of me, put his arm around me, Brother Larry. Here's what he said, never again. He said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. That's Bible. That's not the way it's quoted. The Bible said, what shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you what those in hell would give. They'd give everything they've ever had. The punishment. The promise of this resurrection. The pity of this resurrection. The partakers of this resurrection. The punishment of this resurrection. I'm not going to go and read Luke 16. But you ought to read it. You ought to read about a beggar who was laid at the rich man's gate. That means he couldn't even get there on his own. They had to carry him there and lay him down so he could beg for some crumbs. But boy, the situation's supposed to change. And it did. The Bible said the rich man died and lifted his eyes in hell. The beggar died and was carried. The rich man died and was buried. Everybody that dies is either going to be carried or buried. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He had it rough down here, but I tell you, it turned into smooth sailing over there. If the rich man had it to do over again, I've thought about this often. There was a day when David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And he talked about Mephibosheth. He was lame on his feet. David said, go get him. He set him at the head of the table. He said he's going to eat bread continually at the king's table. I believe, listen, at first when I thought about that and I was mulling over that in my heart, maybe that rich man would send him a biscuit. Maybe that rich man would send him a whole plate. Oh no, if that rich man had it to do over again, he'd say, go get that man down there at the gate and bring him up here and set him down at my table. The punishment. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment. That's what the Bible said. God knows how to do it. We love, Brother Grizzle, to talk about that reservation we have. We got one, ain't we, Brother? Is it 1 Peter chapter 1? Reserved in heaven for you. But I'm going to tell you something. There's another crowd got a reservation too. The Word of God said right here to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Amen. Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. Somebody saying, well, if God is really a loving God, God wouldn't punish me for my sin. Let me tell you something right now. God already punished His Son. The Word of God said He bore our sin in His body on the tree. The Bible said He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Turn your back on Him, you'll see one day. You'll see. I don't want you to see that. I want you to find mercy. I want you to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible said in Mark chapter 9 verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9 verse 46, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9 verse 48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You say, Pastor, why would God put that in the Bible three times like that? This is what I know about God. He's saying, please, please, please. You say, how do you know that about God? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe God said three times, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, He's saying, please, please, please run from the resurrection of the unjust to the Savior that can put you in that number with the just. I'll give you this morning. We're about done. You know, it'd be so wonderful. Brother Rose, wouldn't it be wonderful this morning if someone walked through these doors this morning and they know I'm in trouble with God. They know their life has never changed. The Word of God declares them to be dead in trespasses and sin. Wouldn't it be wonderful on an Easter Sunday to see a resurrection? To see somebody say, it's enough. Enough of my sin. Enough of my pride. Enough of laying down at night, not knowing where I'm going if I die in the night. It's enough! I want Jesus! I want a change in my life. The last thing I'll give you this morning is this, the permanence. The permanence of this resurrection. We raised 4 children, now we have 11 grandchildren. And there's one thing you don't want to leave laying around, children. That's a permanent marker. We keep them put up at the church, don't we, Sister Helen? Amen. We don't want them laying around everywhere. They might think it's white around here is dry erase. The resurrection of the just is permanent. So is the resurrection of the unjust. You can't change it. When you leave this world, you cannot change your dress. That decision is made on this side. The Bible said, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. You say, preacher, why did his expectation perish? Here's what I believe. I don't believe anybody gets up one morning, Easter Sunday or any other morning, and says, you know what? I think I'll just die without God today, and I think I'll just go to hell today. Nobody does that. As a matter of fact, the devil is so sly, he never tells anybody. Now, don't you ever get saved. No, what he tells them is, not now. Later. Many, he says, you're young. You've got your whole life in front of you. Let me give you something. That expectation, the moment that a person dies, died with them. That expectation of another day, another opportunity, another chance, it perished with that individual. The Word of God said in Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's a resurrection of the just. It's permanent. Thank God it is. But there is a resurrection of the unjust that's just as permanent. I read something yesterday evening. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The Bible declares God's going to call them up, and they're going to stand before God, both small and great. They're going to be cast into a lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. And the Word of God said, this is the second death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. All right, will y'all give me just a minute? How many's listening? I'm going to read something to you that I believe will be a blessing. Boy, it blessed my heart. It blessed my heart so good, I hollered, "Missy!" Usually when I do that, she thinks I want something to eat. But when I read this, I wanted her to read it as well. How many's ever heard of H.A. Ironside? He's one of the old-timey preachers. Had God on him. He said, "One of the first gospel illustrations that ever made a real impression on my young heart was a simple story that I heard a preacher tell when I was less than 9 years old." Less than 9 years old, it had an impression on his heart. He said it was of the pioneers who were making their way across one of the central states to a distant place that had been opened up for homesteading. They traveled in covered wagons drawn by the oxen, and progress was necessarily slow. One day they were horrified to note a long line of smoke in the west, stretching for miles across the prairie. And soon it was evident that the dried grass burning fiercely was coming towards them rapidly. They had crossed the river the day before, but it would be impossible to go back to that river before the flames would be upon them. One man only seemed to have an understanding to what could be done. He gave the command to set fire to the grass behind them. Then, when a space was burned over, the whole company moved back upon that space. As the flames roared on toward them from the west, a little girl cried out in terror. She said, "Are you sure? Are you sure that we shall not be burned up?" The leader said, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has already been." You say, "Pastor, who do you think you are saying when you die you're going to go to heaven?" I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm standing where the fire has already been. I'm in Christ. The sin has already been punished in Him. I've trusted Him as my Savior. If you leave this world and go to heaven, it'll be because there came a day in your life when you took a stand where the fire has already been. The fire of God's judgment fell on Christ at Calvary, so that everyone that would trust Him as their Savior could be a part of the resurrection of the just. On Him almighty vengeance fell, which would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus became my hiding place. The fires of God's judgment burned themselves on Him, and all who are in Christ are saved forever. For now they're standing where the fire has already been. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I read my Bible. I'm not going to heaven because I pray. I'm not going to heaven because I try to be a good husband or a good papa or a good daddy. I'm going to heaven because somebody took my place. Somebody said, "Rick, I love you." You say, "How much does He love you?" And He stretched out His arms and died. You say, "Well, preacher, that's not much." Well, listen to what the Bible said. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life for you, friend. You're going to leave this world one day. Will it be in the resurrection of the just or of the unjust? My heart is broken this morning to think about how many people in this last year have left this world only to find out there is a place where the unjust go. Some will teach you that when you die, it's over. The Bible teaches no such thing. There's an eternity in heaven or in hell. I'm glad I'm saved. I want you to be saved. I want you to go with me. I hope during the service this morning somebody got a coworker, a friend, or a loved one on your heart. Might slip in this altar and breathe their name in prayer. I hope this morning somebody will walk down that aisle and say, Pastor, I've had enough. Enough of my sin. Enough of my pride. Enough of this uncertainty. I want to be saved. You say, Pastor, would that make you happy? Yes, it would. But I'll tell you who it would be happier than me. That's the Savior that paid the price. I've asked Brother Larry to sing this song. I'm going to ask you to listen closely and carefully. And I'm going to ask you, remember that person in the circle. If God has spoke to your heart, do what He tells you to do. I've got Brother Steve, other preachers here in the church, ladies in the church that would love to take this Bible and introduce you to the best friend we've ever had in this world. What's his name, church? What's his name? I said, what's his name? Praise God. Precious Jesus. Sing, Brother Larry, thank you. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.